Welcome to Frankly Speaking. I'm Michelle Lassay Montgomery for George Mason University, the state university in Northern Virginia. The arts and culture of Canada and the United States will be the focus of a two-day conference at George Mason on November 3rd and 4th. My guest today is Dr. Lorraine Brown, director of the GMU Center for Government, Society, and the Arts, and we're going to discuss the cultural differences, influences, and the common problems that these nations share in the area of the arts. Welcome to Frankly Speaking, Lorraine. Why a conference on the arts?
I think the conference on the arts and culture of Canada and the United States was planned as a kickoff for a Canadian studies program on George Mason's campus. There have been a number of faculty members over time who have been interested in Canada and have taught history courses, the history of Canada, or taught something about the government, public affairs, or have taught the literature. And those are fine, but if there is that kind of interest among the faculty people and among students, then the next logical question that comes up is, why not a program that attempts to really deal with Canada, our very close neighbor, but also, I suppose, in a way, to be able then to compare our American studies program and Canadian studies in order to bring a kind of comparative study of the two countries together in some kind of organized, effective way.
Now, what are the various departments here at George Mason that are involved in the Canadian Studies program?
Foreign language, certainly. Public Affairs Department, the English Department, the History Department. The people, obviously, it always stems from the interest of the faculty themselves. Now, for instance, Lorna Irvine in the English Department has taught courses in Canadian women, novels by Canadian women.
Oh, that sounds interesting.
And the response to that has been very positive. And of course, for in any kind of, although this is not necessarily the main emphasis, I think that the fact that there is a very vital program in Canada by women, Canadian women novelists, provide, interestingly enough, a kind of model or a way to compare what's happening among women novelists in the United States. So we're always, I suppose, after a kind of juxtaposition of the two countries. Clearly, too, Michelle, that we're dealing with funding practices. If you talk about art, you are always talking about patronage implicitly, and what the two countries have had very different histories and funding operations. The United States, as you know, is sort of a latecomer to any kind of public funding for the arts, a relief program in the 1930s, but certainly not the kind of support, overall support, that the Canadian artists have had. And so we're interested in comparing the issue of patronage as well.
Let's talk about the question of funding. Does the Canadian government have a problem with funding the arts?
I think not the kind of either actual or philosophical problem that we have in the United States. They see that certainly art is important. They're eager to develop the culture of Canada, and that really brings us into, I suppose, the focus of the conference itself. We'd called it Against the Mainstream, and what we're thinking about is there are groups in both Canada and the United States who find it very difficult to break into this great manufacturer of mass culture that the United States produces. And you have the French-speaking people, certainly in Canada, who are saying we have problems really being represented in the arts of Canada. We have minorities in the United States who are saying, look, there's television, there's all kinds of mass media, but how do we break in? How do we get a part of the action, whether these are women or whether these are Spanish-speaking people or black people? Mm-hmm. And we thought it would be interesting to make a comparison between those groups in Canada who, although for Americans to think of themselves, the Canadians sometimes say America somehow dumps great amounts of its culture on our doorstep. There it is, and it prevents in many ways the development of our own culture, our own indigenous groups. We have it there. This is probably the same thing, although perhaps articulated differently, that groups in the United States are saying. How do you do anything that is different from television or anything that's different from commercial theater? So the idea was maybe stretching, but maybe seeing if there aren't impulses in both countries that are against the mainstream.
I was going to ask you, Lorraine, how do you define the, you use the phrase, the mass manufacturing of culture by the U.S.?
I suppose it's that kind of, I think what we mean is commercialization of art, mm-hmm. that it's not hoping to stimulate.
That's stereotyped?
I think so. It's stereotyped. It's also presuming that there is something called a mainstream culture, that America is represented by white Anglo-Saxon, Protestants, and somehow the history, the culture of those people is representative of the United States. And what other groups are saying, well, there might be that dimension in American culture, but there are other groups that are just as important to somehow have an opportunity to make an impact as we're defining whatever America is and whatever kind of impact America might have in the world.
Now, what about Canada? Many of us don't often think of Canada as having a number of different ethnic groups, and you mentioned that.
Well, the obvious answer, the obvious example is the French-speaking themselves, but we're certainly talking about Indians in Canada, we're talking about Eskimos, we're talking about all kinds of groups that are part of Canadian culture, which find it very difficult to be, like our own American Indians, to be taken seriously, as if somehow their experience is as valuable as that other group that gets all the television time, that other group that gets the radio time, that other group that gets certainly implicitly the funding, whose culture is encouraged. But to be able to articulate, to be able to have a role to play in the articulation of the culture of one's country is very important, to feel represented, not to be that other, whatever that other happens to be in either country.
What are some of the topics that are going to be discussed, and who are the people that are going to be here for this conference?
The keynote speaker is Maver Moore, who was head of the Canada Council, and again, that's the funding organization. Maver Moore is a teacher of theater at York University in Canada, and he will start us off against the mainstream, addressing that particular topic. And then Dr. Archie Bufkins, who is with the Kennedy Center in Washington, D.C., is going to be one of the respondents to Maver Moore's talk. And then Nicole Martin, who is from Quebec, will be the Canadian representative who will respond to Maver Moore. So that's pretty much the morning session. And again, the topic for that, as I've indicated before, is against the mainstream. The afternoon of November 3rd, we're going to have a panel talking about the struggle of the artist to survive, and particularly with the emphasis on the artist, the museum, again bringing in that minority dimension. And Marion Engel, a Canadian novelist, will be represented on that panel. Well, I think we've had the great good fortune to, at the last minute, to have John Hirsch, who's the director of the Stratford Theater. His schedule suddenly permitted him to join us, and he will join that panel. Rebecca Welch, who is the curator of the Anacostia Museum, she will be part of the panel, and they will talk about the struggle of the artist to survive. And I believe on that panel, too, Stephen Burton from our own George Mason Department of Music. Then the second day, we get to funding.
The all-important.
The all-important thing we've saved until last. And that is, who says what is art? Who says what is important to fund? Who makes the decisions that are so crucial in this area? And President George Johnson will chair that session, and there will be representatives from the United States. Harold Cannon, who is the head of the research at National Endowment for the Humanities. Alan Gowans is a professor of art and architecture at the University of British Columbia. Mildred Batista is the mayor Barry's representative on the D.C. Commission of Arts. So again, that kind of spread of American experience and Canadian experience to talk about who's served. I suppose that's the real crucial question when we get into funding. Who benefits from the kind of funding operation that each country promotes?
In addition to the conference itself, which will take place during George Mason's Arts Explosion Month, there will be some other cultural features. I know that we've been working closely with the Canadian Embassy. In fact, they're a sponsor of the conference.
Yes. And I think that's one of the things is the relationship that's grown up between the university and the Canadian Embassy. They are funding the conference overall, although it is taking place on our campus. They have funded the conference and have been instrumental in providing us with film so that we've had a Canadian film festival. Marjorie Gillis is a modern dancer, and again, she is very much a person interested in the concepts of mainstream and non-mainstream art funding. She is a modern dancer, and we've been told by the embassy that her kind of dance will really reinforce the kind of thematic arrangement that we've tried to bring about in the conference. And my understanding about the pianist, Mr. McLennan, is that he is on his way to compete in a competition in Paris, representing Canada, and he just happens to be in town over this period, and so we have the great good fortune of having him on our campus. And he will perform the night of the conference on November 3rd.
Okay, and the conference again will take place November 3rd and 4th.
Yes.
November 3rd, from what time until?
From 8:30 to 5:30, and then the next day the session is lasts until noon, 8:30 to 12:30.
Thank you, Lorraine, for being my guest today on Frankly Speaking. I know that a lot of good information will come out of the conference, and I look forward especially to seeing Margie Gillis and Donald McLennan. I think those two concerts will be held at 8 p.m. in the Harris Theater.
Right.
Thank you again.
Thank you, Michelle.
My guest today has been Dr. Lorraine Brown, director of the GMU Center for Government, Society, and the Arts. George Mason begins its fourth big week of Arts Explosion events, beginning with a literary reading by writer Mary Lee Settle on Sunday, October 30th at 8 p.m. Actor Albert Haig, better known as Professor Sharofsky of television's fame, comes to George Mason on Monday, October 31st. Haig will give a lecture and acting demonstration at 8 p.m. An American folk dance demonstration will be featured on Tuesday, November 1st at noon. Later that evening, William DeLuper, curator for the Phillips Collection, will lecture on the art of collecting at 8 p.m. The subject that we've discussed today, art and culture in Canada and the United States, will be the focus of a two-day conference at George Mason on Thursday and Friday, November 3rd and 4th. On Thursday evening at 8 p.m., Canadian pianist Douglas McLennan will be featured in concert. And on Friday, November 4th, Canadian dancer Margie Gillis will round off the week with a dance concert at 8 p.m. All Arts Explosion events will be held on George Mason's main campus. For a complete listing of events, call 323-ARTS. That's 323-ARTS. Stay tuned next week when we will feature an interview with television personality and stage star Arthur Peterson and his actress wife Norma Ransom, who will star in the upcoming performance of the 1978 Pulitzer Prize-winning play, The Gin Game, at George Mason. You've been listening to Frankly Speaking, a public service program of George Mason University. My technical engineer has been Donna Ambrosiano. For more information concerning today's program, please call area code 703-323-2138. I'm Michelle Lassane Montgomery for George Mason University, the State University in Northern Virginia. Thank you for listening.